in your pew Bibles. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, friends, welcome to a new year of wondering and wandering, of learning our way through Scripture together. This morning, we are once again in the Gospel according to Matthew. Today, we're celebrating the Feast of Epiphany, the day when the Magi from the East encountered Jesus for the first time. Our nativity scenes can be a little bit misleading on this part. The Magi did not actually arrive right after the birth of Jesus. Instead, they would have arrived when Jesus was 1 or 2 years old. But a running, screaming toddler Jesus is way less cute and contained than a newborn. So we just tend to lump everybody together at the manger scene. This is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child and with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Most of y'all know by now that I'm a little bit of a language nerd, so bear with me for a second. In the ancient world, particularly in ancient Greek, there were no punctuation marks, no exclamation points, no bold or italic fonts to create emphasis in writing. Can you imagine if you had to write letters or text messages without any punctuation or emojis or paragraphs? It would be really difficult, right, to get a particular idea across, to emphasize something. So in order to emphasize something in ancient writings, they would either use repetition, like Isaiah does when he says, "Comfort, comfort my people," or they would use particular writing structures to get their point across. This story is one of those particular writing structures. It's called a chiasm. It creates a sort of idea pyramid, a way to organize themes in an A, B, C, B, A kind of pattern. Writers would use this as the ancient equivalent of all caps or italics, highlighting the idea in the center, the top of the pyramid, and giving some emphasis to the ideas on either side. In this particular passage, we begin and end with the wise men, or the magi, traveling to and from Jesus. One step further up the pyramid, we begin with Herod's terror at the idea of a king of the Jews, and end with the magi's celebration of Jesus, which helps highlight the contrast between those two reactions. In the center, though, at the top of that pyramid, is the quote from the Old Testament prophet Micah. "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." This is the Epiphany. This is the sudden revelation from God that is very suddenly a threat to the established order of things. Because if Jesus is the king of the Jews, then Herod is not. If Jesus is the ruler to shepherd Israel, then Caesar is not. Until this moment, everyone in this passage, maybe with the exception of Mary and Joseph, are running on autopilot. Both the Magi and Herod make assumptions and decisions based on their experiences and habits and traditions. Humans are creatures of habit, and we will continue doing the same things in the same way unless we're interrupted. And in this case, they all encounter a sudden and inexplicable revelation, an epiphany, you might say. The Magi in this story are astrologers. They not only studied the stars, but they assigned a particular spiritual and cosmic meaning to how the stars and planets moved across the night sky. The appearance of a new star was a big deal. So they made some calculations and assumptions and set out. They head for the highest ranking local ruler because certainly he would know where to find this new king. They eventually reach Herod, though, who is caught completely unaware. He had no idea that this threat to his rule was growing right under his nose, and he was not expecting visitors. Meanwhile, he was trying to eliminate threats to his rule from within his own palace. Not only did he marry 10 times, but he also had a penchant for assassinating anyone who he thought might try to overthrow him, including some of his own sons. Both the Magi and Herod would go searching for Jesus, but with very different ends in mind. One sought out this child who did not follow conventional rules, filled with wonder, awe, and worship. The other sought to eliminate the disruption, to preserve the established order of things and his own power, status, and way of life. Epiphany is the opposite of autopilot. An epiphany breaks in. An epiphany comes suddenly and without warning and does not wait until it is convenient. It cannot be planned for or contained or controlled. It can only be welcomed or rejected. We can make room or we can try to smash it like a spider in the bathroom. So here is the question of epiphany. How much room is there in your life, in your heart, for holy disruptions, for surprise and delight? Is there room for listening, for dreaming, for God to tell you to follow or to go a different way, to pay attention to something else, to welcome something or someone new. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to make room to listen to God and follow Jesus in this new year through a very particular spiritual practice. It's called Star Words. We've done this a couple times here at Parkwood, but not for a while. You may or may not have noticed that on the communion tables where the cups are, there are some small bookmarks that look like this. They blend in with the tablecloth, but I promise they're there. Laid out on the tables. Each little paper has a word on it. Here's the catch. You don't get to pick your word. Like a wand in the Harry Potter world, your word will choose you. Think of it as the opposite of a New Year's resolution, where we try to correct some defect in ourselves and receive instead this gift to carry with you throughout the year. So I invite you to take a bookmark, take a star, take it home with you, and put it somewhere where you can see it. On your bathroom mirror, on top of the coffee pot, as a bookmark in your devotional or your Bible, on your computer monitor. The word on your star may not make sense to you right now. You may not even like it. But watch for it. Reflect on its presence in your life this year. It may break in like an epiphany to surprise you. It might slink in like a stray cat. This morning, I prayed over each one of these star words, that it would find its way to precisely the right person, to guide them in the way of Jesus. My hope is that, like the star that guided the Magi, this word may guide you through 2026. Friends, may it surprise you in the best ways. May you wrestle with it and poke at it, and may it poke back at you. Friends, we come to Christ's table with the same wonder, the same joy, the same revolutionary patience as the Magi. We come seeking the King of Kings, and here is the good news. We will always find him here. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite us now to rise as you're able for our next hymn, number 150, As with Gladness, Men of Old.